It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 168, 7 pounds of pressure. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so kindly for tuning in to this week's episode. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to hit subscribe, give your baby boy some 5 stars, and write a review. Well, how is everyone doing? I hope oh so well. I hope however you're listening to me in your car, in your ear pods, at work, while you're home cooking, I hope everyone is doing well. I hope you had an amazing weekend. I hope your summer is kicking off to a good start. Yeah, baby boy is over here in very high spirits. Had a very relaxing weekend. I didn't really do much. I stayed in the house and had me some Bryce Isaiah time. And sometimes that time to yourself can be just so amazing. I am a outgoing person. I love to be around people. I love to just have fun, be crazy. But at the same time, I love my time to myself. And I think that it's just so important that we make time for ourselves. We give unto others, but make sure that we give to ourselves, because it's so really important just to have your me time to do what it is that you want, whether it's a personal happy hour in your house, whether it's you laying in the bed watching TV, whether it's you trying new foods, whether it's you reading a book, whether it's you cleaning, whether it's you just jamming to some music. It's just important to have that time to yourself. Now, you know, I just laid up in the bed, watched some Netflix series, and oh my God, I watched this Netflix documentary called Keep Sweet, Pray, and Obey. It's a limited docu-series, and I think it has 4 episodes, and it examines the rise of Warren Jeffs and the Fundamentalist. Did I say that right? The Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints and his shocking criminal case. Now, baby, I wasn't ready for this. Now, y'all know me. I love a good documentary. I love watching documentaries about like cults and like extreme religion and different stuff like that, because for me it's like I get to put my social work hat on. But baby, I was not ready for Keep Sweet and Pray and Obey. And it's really about the fundamentalist church and their polygamous, and they essentially is I don't want to ruin it for y'all, but I mean, listen, you can go on the internet and read, but essentially they're like children trafficking. They're marrying these children at like 14 and 15. And the guy, Warren Jeff, is disgusting. And it's just crazy to see how people can use religion in such a negative way for power, for greed, for sex, for children. And these prophets, you know, Jeff is supposed to be this living prophet, that he's supposed to be like the God on earth, and the people follow him, and they are raised in these like really small knit communities where all of the children and the people just are raised in this. And so it's all that they know. And so at like 14 and 15, you could be married off to a 68-year-old man who already has 72 wives and child. And the way that they like their money wise, sometimes it's really considered in like your daughters, and like, oh, I can give you this daughter if you give me that. Like, it's really sick and crazy, but it is a really interesting watch. And the crazy thing about it is, although Warren Jeffs is in jail, he still is considered the prophet of the fundamentalists, and he is still like the fundamentalists still are around. They still are. And after I watched the documentary, you know, I had to Google, because there was this place, and when you get to episode 4 and they moved to Texas and they built this huge palace to Jeff, baby, you can still, you know me, I went on Google Maps And it's still there. They are, it's crazy, but it is definitely a good watch. If you guys watch it, let me know what you think about it. You know me, I also got into Love on the Spectrum. You know, Love on the Spectrum is my judge. And we watched season 1 and 2, and season 3 has come out, and it is based in the U.S. So I love it. Now, season 3, I'm going to be honest with you, Purple Pants Posse. It don't have nothing on season 1 and 2. The characters are, I don't know what it is, but maybe I have an affection for season 1 and 2, and I have come accustomed to some of my favorite characters, like, you know, Michael from season 1 and 2. He was hilarious. But I just really love Love on the Spectrum, and it is a dating show or a documentary series that follows people on the spectrum of all different ages, races, sexualities, and it really documents their need for wanting to find a partner. And it's just so interesting. I just love it because at times I relate to it so much, in the sense of, you know, I'm trying to find a partner, and sometimes I feel like, you know, and it's just so interesting to see these amazing people that are on the autism spectrum, and their levels of autism are different. But the one common thread is that they just want to be loved, and they want to find a partner. And it's just so endearing. And I just love it. And I relate so much to it, because listen, I'm out here trying to find a partner. Now, mind you, there is a couple of people that have stuck out for me. There is Steve. He is 63 from San Francisco, and he only recently got diagnosed like 5 years ago. And he is just the cutest guy ever. I love Steve. He's so fun. Now, I haven't finished the season. I'm on episode like 5 or 6. And so they really just introduced us to Steve. So I'm hoping that Steve finds love. There also is baby boy named James. He's from Boston. He lives with his two parents, and he is dating, and he really is into like, what you call it, like the medieval times. And baby, I just live for James. He got long blonde hair. His mom and dad be telling him to cut it. He's like, no, I'm not gonna cut it. I don't want to cut it. We love him. There's also Kaylin. She's 24 from Greenville, South Carolina. Now, she is on the Tinder's apps and is dating. And her thing is, she hates the fact that she's from the South, and that every photo on these dating apps, like, the guys are holding up dead animals or dead fish. And she doesn't like that. And so she is, you know, somewhat dating. And then there is this other lady named, what's her name? Let me tell y'all. Danny. Danny is 26 from Los Angeles, and she is an animation enthusiast, and she works in the animation field. And baby, she go on the first date, baby, and you think it's love. I like the guy that she was dating, but she didn't feel like they were a compatible match. So I was a little mad at Danny, because you're not going to break my baby boy heart. But I just love just getting into these shows. And so if you have not watched Love on the Spectrum season 3, get into it. Let me know. No, I don't love it as much as the first 2 seasons, but I am slowly warming up to some of the characters. But if you guys watch it, let me know who y'all favorite people are, and let me know if y'all think season 1 and 2 are better than season 3. But that's just my personal opinion. I'm really excited for this week's episode. We got the church announcements, and we are covering episode 2 of P-Valley of season 2, and I am joined by Dr. Sharia Lloyd from Survivor China, my good girlfriend. And we got the baby boy Chappelle from the RH JP, and we've got the freak of the week. So listen, what else but to do but get into these church announcements? On this week's church announcements, I've got 2 church announcements for you. One church announcement is, you know, your baby boy, myself, and Wendeezy, they dropped the challenge, the USA, that is covering Survivor, that's got Love Island, that's got Big Brother, and it's got Amazing Race. Wendeezy and I, back in March, recorded a first glance of the prospective cast. And so since the challenge on the Instagram last week dropped the cast list, we dropped that podcast. So go listen to that podcast or go over to my YouTube channel, Bryce Isaiah, and hit subscribe and give that video a thumbs up. Now, the second church announcement weighing on my heart a little bit, and I haven't been giving y'all my heartfelt messages in a while, but the name of this podcast is 7 Pounds of Pressure. Now, that really comes from this episode of P-Valley, and we will get into that when we get into P-Valley. But for me, the 7 Pounds of Pressure is the things that we carry around in our hearts and in our spirits, whether it be hurt, whether it be unacknowledged feelings. There is just like this 7 pounds of pressure in our spirit. And over the weekend, I had an opportunity to hang out with a loved one. And, you know, for me, I love to clean and it's really like my therapy. And so I had reached out to this loved one who our relationship is not the best or has not been the best. And I, you know, was like, hey, want to like come over and clean if you'll let me. And this family member allowed me to clean. And I was like, you know, cleaning their home and just like straighten things up. And while I was cleaning, this family member was just opening up to me, and I felt like I was in that space to just listen, because what else I'm gonna do? I'm cleaning. And they were just like revealing a lot of different things to me that kind of sort of like softened my heart, because I feel like I carry around this 7 pounds of pressure towards, you know, this family member for things in the past. And I just am not willing to let my walls down. However, during this time of me like cleaning, and baby boy was cleaning, okay, this family member, you know, they just, you know, live like a bachelor. And so I was like, you know, on my hands and knees, grabbing the bathroom, organizing the closets, the shelves, the refrigerators, mopping. They ain't had no mop, so I had to get on my hands and knees. And, you know, this family member was just like really just telling me some things that I don't think in the past that I necessarily acknowledged or listened to. And I was just able to empathize and to see things through a different light. And I really felt like in that conversation, I was able to release some of that 7 pounds of pressure that I was carrying around in regards to this relationship. And I was able to, like, you know, hear them, see them. And it really made me think about the situation a lot differently. And for me, it just was like literally a sense of release. And I bring that to the posse to say that we carry around this, you know, I don't know why we call it 7 pounds of pressure, but we carry around this weight of different things, of like different relationships, different jobs, different like our love interests, or we might be holding guilt over something that we've done in the past, or we might be holding hurt over something that someone has done to us. And it is just really important for us to release that 7 pounds of pressure out of our spirit, because ultimately the only person that it really is affecting is you. And our time on this earth is limited, and we don't want something that we perceived or something that we thought of a person to be holding us back from relationships that we can further, or even if the relationship can't go deeper than what it is, but just allowing that person to have space in your heart, allowing that person to, you know, divulge to you some of the things that they're going through, and you being able, just listening, to release that pressure to them. And so I just really wanted to bring that to the posse, just to say that, you know, life is short, and there are things that we do. We have our own barriers, our own walls that we put up to protect ourselves. But at times there may be a point where, and again, this person could have done you wrong after wrong after wrong after wrong. And, you know, you like, I ain't putting down this wall no more. But what I will say is there may be a time that maybe we climb to the top of that wall that we've built, and we just look over, or we just say hi, or we put a little plant at the top of the wall, you know, and leave room for growth. And I know that, you know, this might not apply to everyone, or the situation might not apply, but there is definitely some level of pressure or something that you are holding on to that I really hope that listening to this, you can release it and realize that it's not your battle. And your battle is to just do what's best for you and to love others and treat people how you want to be treated. And even if that person continually hurt you, or you've had a history from the past, whew, it's hard to say, but, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt and, you know, accepting them for where they are today and not holding the past against them, because we don't want the past held against us. And, you know, just releasing that 7 pounds of pressure.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week covering episode 2 of season 2 of P-Valley. Now, I have to give y'all a little update. Purple Pants Posse, I have Chappelle and Sharia here with me. And we talked about the whole episode. However, listen, some 7 pounds of pressure was on the internet. And the first half of our discussion was not able to be retrieved. Okay, you see how they try to set your baby boy up. But don't worry, your baby boy will give you the first half, and then when we go into the second half of the episode, I will have Chappelle and Sharia join us. Apologies about that, but listen, some things are just out of our control. Now, episode 2 starts off with Autumn hosting auditions for the grand opening of The Pink. Now, we know the grand reopening of The Pink is happening. And, you know, Mercedes is not happy about these auditions. Mercedes doesn't really want to bring new people in. However, Autumn is like, well, listen, we need new blood so we can make new money. And if money ain't being made in The Pink, how am I supposed to pay y'all? And how am I supposed to give you the money that you need, Mercedes? So Mercedes reluctantly allows Autumn to have the auditions, and we are watching the auditions. And it's so interesting. First of all, some of the people that is auditioning, whoo, a mess. Some of the people are really, really amazing. And two of the people that stand out are these two young ladies named Whisper and Roulette are killing it. And it really reminds us of a younger Autumn and a younger Mercedes. Mercedes is happy with them, and they go to make the announcement of who the three people will be. And, you know, Mercedes says Whisper and Roulette. And then all of a sudden, Autumn comes and gives, I think her name was like Big Booty Judy or something, gives her the third spot. And, you know, Mercedes is like, listen, this is not the agreement. What are you doing? And so Autumn takes Big Booty Judy to the bar, and then Mercedes is able to pick her other two people that will be kind of sort of joining her little Earth, Wind, and Fire group. Now, after they do the auditions, Corbin and Andre come into the bar because they want to meet with Uncle Cliff and Autumn. Now, we remember Corbin from last season. He is biracial, half black and white, and he has, I believe, three other brothers that are all white. And so his relationship with his brothers aren't that good, but he is in the member of the family that wants to buy The Pink because they, you know, they got the deal with the casino that is coming in. So Corbin and Andre are meeting with Autumn and Uncle Cliff, and they are offering $500,000 to The Pink. Now, we know last season they was trying to only offer like $20,000. Now we're up to $500,000. Autumn, being the new owner of The Pink, she is very business savvy and realizes if they're offering $500,000 now from like $20,000 from a couple of months ago, the value of The Pink is worth way more than what they are offering. So they are not willing to negotiate, and Corbin gets a little upset. And Autumn is like, well, listen, we could talk when y'all offering $10 million. And although Uncle Cliff is like, well, listen, The Pink ain't for sale, Uncle Cliff is like, last season when y'all proposed to have this land set aside for the casino, that's when Uncle Cliff got out and really kind of raised awareness and got the community involved and put a no to the vote, because Uncle Cliff is such a influential member in the community. Now, it also really brought up a really interesting point for me, and that I can talk about a little later when we get to it. But the fact that Uncle Cliff was saying that, you know, is the community going to come out for you, Corbin, like they came out for me? I don't think so. And so when Uncle Cliff said that, I was like, that's interesting. And why are they making such a big vocal point on this? Now, mind you, there is Andre, who is basically the godson of the mayor, who, you know, Andre and Autumn had a little thing together last season, but Andre is married and now Andre and Corbin are coming to make this offer. And Uncle Cliff basically is like, no way, we ain't doing it and the casino ain't coming and that's the only reason y'all want this now. Now, Autumn also says, like, you know, well, listen, when we get to 10 million, maybe we can talk. And Autumn also says that, like, you know, she'll sell the land to the casino and but so many ways. And so they don't really touch on it in that moment, but it is just like, Autumn, well, wait a minute, the pink ain't for sale, but you talking about you'll sell it to the casino. So, you know, Autumn is trying to essentially get the city, Andre and Corbin, out of it and just go straight to the casino. Now, after that meeting is over, new flyers come in for the grand reopening that's supposed to be in 2 weeks. But the flyers say it's for this weekend. And Uncle Cliff is like, now, wait a minute. Why is the grand opening of the pink this week is supposed to be next week? And Autumn is like, well, we got to get the money in here quickly. Then we discover that it is Uncle Cliff's birthday this weekend. And Uncle Cliff is turning 40. And Uncle Cliff is not happy about the grand reopening on his birthday. And he's really kind of downplaying his birthday. He does not want to really celebrate his 40th birthday. Now, as a gay black man who in my lifetime have struggle with celebrating my birthday and being present with it, I can completely understand why he would not want to celebrate his birthday or why he would not want to be working on his birthday. So it's an interesting scene. However, listen, Autumn is the boss, so the grand reopening is going to be this Friday. And Uncle Cliff is like, well, listen, since you want to be the boss, you can handle it yourself without me. So Uncle Cliff goes home to his grandmom Ernestine, and he is upset. And Grandmom Ernestine is like, well, boy, what's going on? And he's like, oh, this girl want to open the pink on this week and it's not supposed to be. And she's like, oh, why? Because it's your birthday. And Uncle Cliff is just like, ugh. You know, he says under his breath, like, I can't believe I'm going to be 40 still living with my grandmom. And so, you know, again, we can get more into Uncle Cliff and like what he is going through his birthday. But also Uncle Cliff says it's been about 5 months since he got a little nookie nookie. And we know that that is a reference to Little Murder. He hasn't talked to Little Murder since last season. And we see that Little Murder on the first episode has been texting him and trying to, like, you know, reconnect. But kudos to Uncle Cliff for staying strong and not, you know, responding to Little Murder. So as Uncle Cliff is having this fit, you know, talking to Grandmom Ernestine, like, you know, I don't want to do this. I just want to, like, you know, be at home by myself for my birthday. Uncle Cliff goes to his room and baby, ooh, Purple Pants Posse, I was living for this scene. There's a knock, knock, knock at the door. There's a knock at the door, knock, 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 knock at the door. And Uncle Cliff is in his room and Ernestine answers it and baby, whoo, it is Little Murder. Little Murder is stopping by to see Uncle Cliff. And Ernestine is like so happy to just be conversating with Lil Murder. And we know that first season when Lil Murder and Uncle Cliff was kind of like, you know, doing a dating thing, Lil Murder got close with Grandmom Ernestine. And so Grandmom Ernestine is like so excited to see him. And he is like, is Cliff here? And so Grandmom Ernestine doesn't really like answer the question, but baby, Uncle Clifford, he hears the conversation and kind of runs to the door and is behind the door while Little Murder is outside. And I believe that Little Murder kind of knows that Uncle Cliff is there because he seems to say like, hey, Grandmom Ernestine, can you give this message to Uncle Cliff? And he like taps the door. And so when he is giving the message to Grandmom Ernestine, it's not really giving a message. It's almost as if like he is directly talking to Uncle Cliff. And whoo, y'all know I live for Uncle Cliff and Lil Murder. So Little Murder was essentially saying that he wanted to tell Uncle Cliff that he was sorry about how things ended and, you know, wanted to make things up. However, Uncle Cliff has not been responding to his text messages and he just wants Uncle Cliff to know that he is thinking about him and he's sorry. And the reason for him stopping by is because he is getting ready to go on tour and he just wanted to give his final piece before he went on tour. And Uncle Cliff is like, oh, behind the door. And there's every part of Uncle Cliff that wants to dive in and like speak to Murder, but he does not. And then when Little Murder leaves, he like taps the door and baby, it's like Little Murder is tapping my heart. Now, you know, I have had my experiences with men like Little Murder. And I just feel like I am very proud of Uncle Cliff for standing his ground, because Uncle Cliff is a openly gay black man and lives in his truth. And Little Murder is a man that is interested in Uncle Cliff, however, is not really interested in being open with society about that. And again, being as though that I have been in situations like that, it's not fair to you. It's not fair that, you know, if somebody can't completely give themselves to you, then they don't appreciate your worth. Now, I am sympathetic to people that are coming into their own and maybe may not be ready to make a public stance, but at least my close friends and family can know, like, you know, but, you know, Lil Murder ain't doing that. And Uncle Cliff deserves the world. And if Lil Murder can't do that, then I don't know if, you know, Lil Murder is deserving of Uncle Cliff's time. And I give Uncle Cliff big kudos for not running past that door and, listen, putting it on Lil Murder. Because although I'm saying all of that and very proud of Uncle Cliff, I don't know if I would have been that strong in that moment. Okay, because listen, I might have had to little, you know. Okay, now we then go have this scene with Andre. We know Andre is the godson to the mayor who died, and we know the mayor who died was really trying to get rid of the Pink and have that area for the casino. And, you know, he just was at the Pink with Corbin and Uncle Cliff in Autumn trying to make this offer. But, you know, they wasn't trying to buy. So as he is walking to his uncle's house, he notices that the water hose is on and it's in the middle of the street and it's like split in two different directions. And then in the two different directions, then it's split in like three different directions. And then from the three different directions, it's split to like two different directions. So essentially, Andre's uncle is like supplying water to the whole community. And so Andre is like, what is going on? So Andre kind of sort of follows the lead to one of the hoses and ask them, like, why is this water coming from my uncle's house? And they essentially say that the uncle, when people would get behind in their water bill and they're in a pandemic, people aren't working. So, I mean, priority comes into we need food first. And so they were saying that the uncle would cover the water bill for the people in the community until they were able to get it together. So Andre goes in the house and he is looking through the bills and he sees that for the last couple of months, the uncle was paying like $10,000, $11,000 in water bills to the community. Now, we know the uncle wasn't the greatest mayor. You know, he was a little selfish and he, you know, was in the politicians had him in their pockets. However, we see this also like humanized side of the uncle paying the water bill for the community. Now, we don't know if he's paying it out of his own pocket or he is using the city money, but, you know, he is looking out for the people. And I bring this point up to say, when I was saying to you guys, when Corbin and Andre were offering this money to Uncle Cliff and Autumn, and Uncle Cliff was like, well, listen, the people voted and the people are with me. And Uncle Cliff's like, I don't think that you'll be able to get the people to go out again and vote, and especially vote for y'all for this casino, because the people are with me. I really feel like with Andre discovering this water, it might be a way for him, if another revolt comes up, to basically say to the people in his community, like, look, my uncle been paying for y'all water. The least that y'all could do is, you know, look out for this casino that's going to bring more jobs and more money to the community. So we're going to have to stay on top of that. Then we get a scene from Keyshawn, you know, Crooked Letter I, the one dancer that stepped in for Mercedes last season when she was in jail after beating the brakes off her mom for stealing her money. And Keyshawn stepped in for Mercedes on Mercedes Last Dance and, you know, really became an internet sensation while she was dancing for Little Murder song. She, you know, with her white baby father, who is abusive to her and very controlling, the sheriff stops by their home to essentially tell Keyshawn and her baby father that they are not going to be pressing charges against Diamond for the fight at the Pink on the last season. And the baby father is really upset about that. Now, while Keyshawn is in the house getting some lemonade to bring out to the sheriff and her baby daddy phone ring, and or not ring, a text message goes off, and we can read the text message that essentially the baby daddy was going up for this manager position and he did not get the manager. So Keyshawn is holding on to that information and is, you know, goes out there and the boyfriend is like really upset and he goes in the house and Keyshawn is talking to the sheriff and we can see that Keyshawn has a really good relationship with the sheriff. And when Keyshawn goes back in the house, the baby daddy is pulling out the Pampers that Keyshawn hid last episode so that she could go out of the house to meet up with Diamond. And the baby daddy is like, I know you went to the dollar store to see Diamond. And Keyshawn is like, well, how do you know that? And he like, well, I got a tracker on your phone. And so we like, ooh, now wait a minute, what's going on? And so, you know, the baby daddy really does not want Keyshawn out there. Keyshawn is like, well, listen, Little Murder is going on tour. I want to go on tour. I want to make this money. I'm making this money on line, but it's nothing like being outside and really getting your name out there. And the baby daddy is not here for it. Now, Little Murder is gearing up for this show. Now, mind you, he only got one single, but listen, okay, he want to go on tour. He want to go on tour. He realizes the dynamic duo of him and Keyshawn. And so he offers last episode for Keyshawn to be able to go on the tour. And Keyshawn wants to go. But in this conversation with the baby daddy, and he's saying like, he don't want her outside. He don't want her to do nothing. It's not safe. He needs to stay in the house and she can make money online. And Keyshawn is like, no, she can't. So Keyshawn said, I'm going to use the information I know to be able to do what I want to do. So Keyshawn texts Little Murder's manager and asks him to come over for a meeting about the tour. And so the manager comes over and is meeting with Keyshawn and her baby daddy. He's talking about the tour and talking about like all of the new advertisements that are on board because of Keyshawn. And Keyshawn is asking these questions like, well, wait a minute. So the money that we get at the door is going to be my money that, like, you know, I get. However, the cost of the tour, our lodging, our travel, is also the money that's at the dough. So essentially, Keyshawn is like, well, listen, baby, I'm essentially fronting this tour. What do I really get out of it? And she plays this game while the baby daddy is there. And essentially, she's like, well, listen, my baby daddy, he about to get a manager job, even though we know that she know that he not. And she like, I don't even know if I really need this money. Like, you know, you're going to have to come with something better. And the manager is sitting there looking confused, like, girl, you just said you wanted to. And so Keyshawn's like, well, we'll have to talk to you later. And so the manager leaves and he goes and talks to Little Murder, who's in the car. And he is telling them, like, I don't know what's up with her. She talking all of this. She want this, she want that. And he like, well, why would she ask me to come over? Then Keyshawn texts him and is like, thank you so much for that. I'll do the rest. Okay. Now we know what the rest is because now she's going to use that leverage where the baby father has not told her that he didn't get the job yet. And here is this potential for Keyshawn to make all of this money. So we get to the opening night of the Pink, and you know Uncle Cliff, he like, I ain't going to that. It's his 40th birthday. He in the house. And so by all things considered, the grand opening of the Pink looks really, 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 really successful. People are there. Autumn is in her business suit and she is, you know, walking around seeing the people throwing their money. We got the dancers on the floor shaking they shake what your mama gave you. And so it's really looking successful. And I'm like, well, where is Mercedes and these girls at? And then, whoo, child, listen, I got scared. And what really scared me was, what was the name? What's Salt and Pepper's name, Chappelle?
That's Whisper and Roulette.
Whisper and Roulette. When Mercedes had Whisper and Roulette together trying to practice their little number. Can you keep up? Baby boy, make me lose my breath. Okay, listen. Mercedes' shoulder cannot keep up. And I don't know why they be doing this with my girl. And this is just in rehearsal.
It's so funny because she just looks so angry all the time. I feel so bad for her.
I love it.
It's just, she's so angry. She's like, we didn't finish counting our steps, y'all. They was like, listen, we got other stuff over here happening. Let's go over here. And so, again, goes back to, like you said, I think that she likes having them now, but it's still like, nah, I'm the OG. I run this.
Yeah. And they keep calling her old. That is the funniest thing in the world. Like, she, because we found out, like, Mercedes is like 25. And so, like, they like, she
but
fell
in
off
the strip
that
club
party.
Maybe
like,
that really
that's
cute.
All. Listen. Right. And these babies are probably 18.
Yes.
Yeah. When she had hurt her arm and they said, oh, you want me to go get some of that green rubbing alcohol? I fell full on the floor. I said, oh, she going to fight you. Mercedes
and then left it all at her little dressing table too.
But not that I got the green alcohol in my cabinet.
The young kids, they coming for
right, exactly. No, they really are. They like, nah, sis, we here now. We here. She gone. She's realizing it slowly but surely.
So the grand opening happens, and
the grand survivor reopening.
Okay. And it's a success that it looks. The people are out there. The club is doing what it does. The clappers are clapping. And, you know, it looks successful.
Yeah, it does. But this is where I see clear. That power struggle happening. You said what?
Mm-hmm. No, I was agreeing with you. It's clear that, you know, Autumn financially might be in charge of the pink, but she ain't got the same kind of power that Uncle Cliff has.
Exactly. That's that power struggle. I'm saying, like, she can't handle issues when you had, what's your girl's name on the bar? One to select
Miracle Watts.
Miracle Watts. She was on the bar. Yes, Big Bone. When she was on the bar, and there were a couple other issues that were happening, she could not resolve those like Uncle Clifford could. So that's where I'm like, she's realizing, like, okay, maybe I do need him for a few things. I can run the money side, but he has to do the managing side.
1,000%. She was like, listen, what's Uncle Clifford club? What's his rule in the club? They said, girl, you ain't Uncle Clifford.
At all, sis.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like, she had all the things going wrong. She had a fire in the kitchen. She had Miracle Watts twerking on the bar. She had baby daddy drama going on, like a whole paternity test argument. And like, now Whisper is in the background, like doing psychic readings and stuff like that. Like, it's too much going on for Autumn to be taking over right now.
A lot happening. Exactly. It was a lot going on, but the money was flowing.
And we get to, I don't know, should we talk about Mercedes first or Uncle Clifford being taken to his party?
Let's go to Uncle Clifford since we kind of touched on that a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So, Uncle Clifford was, you know, perusing the Instagram. Looking at, you know, Lil Murda, thinking of things, and Grandma downstairs said, you ain't take the trash out, I can smell it. Whew, that took me back to my high school days in the summer.
Did it?
No.
Yes, you ain't never tell your mom, like, I took the trash out, and then, like, well, maybe she couldn't smell it, but it would be like 3 o'clock in the morning, Barbara would be like, Bryce! You ain't take this trash out.
And now she's like, it's the recycling. So you didn't do everything.
Yeah,
come on.
But you see that, what that is, that's her trying to get him out the house, because he like, we all know at this point that Ernestine is in on the scam to get Uncle Cliff to his birthday party. So my thing is, when I saw the little screen mask through the window, I got worried, because, you know, there's some dark undertones to this season of P-Valley. So I was like, what is about to happen to Grandma Ernestine? But like, when they start to try to kidnap Uncle Cliff, that's a big guy. Like, that's a big dude. They tried to kidnap him with no gun. I was like, okay, this is clearly a joke, because ain't no way.
That's what I was going to ask you. So what did you really think was going to happen in that moment? Did your mind go straight toward it's going to be a party, or what were you thinking it was?
I did. I got there really quickly, because, like I said, my issue was Uncle Cliff a big dude, like, so he about to put up a fight. But right, but then I realized, I said, why are they tackling him with that, trying to tape him down? What is that going on? Like, you have to hit Uncle Cliff with something. And so the fact that they didn't, I said, okay, this is like one of those, you know, 90s to or early 2000s movies where you kidnap your friend, take him somewhere to be surprised. And I was happy that that's what it was, because that was like a split second where I thought it could have got real dark here.
Yeah,
absolutely. I didn't really know.
I thought the same thing until I saw the nails. I said, okay, yeah. Who's the, like,
who is this? Who is this? And what they think they doing?
Because yeah, that is weird. But here's the thing to all of my friends. I love a good surprise party. But if you ever try to kidnap me.
What you gonna do?
We gonna be planning a funeral. Okay, listen, yes. Fight like, for your life.
Shoot, that's what I'm gonna be doing.
So Uncle Cliff is at this 40th roller skating party with, which again, I thought just so weird. Like, okay, allegedly it's all of his friends, but yet we 2.5 years in the season and it's nobody we really know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It was definitely a weird party. We're a group of friends. I'm glad that they celebrated him. I'm glad he got his off that night. You know what I mean? But It just felt misplaced.
Yeah, they did use this moment to give some shine to that Where the Money Resides guy.
Because
they had showed the commercial with Pastor Woodbine earlier in the episode where she was singing his song basically to talk about the church. And so I said, Okay, y'all brought it full circle, gave him a little spotlight. But yeah, you're right. This is like the side of Uncle Cliff we've never seen. We've never seen him outside of the club. So I guess he does have friends. It's just we don't know them, so we're not really invested in them. I wonder if we're going to get more of them throughout the season.
I wonder that, too. That's a good point, because it's like I feel like he kind of is pulling away from the club in certain aspects because your girl has so much control. So maybe we will see some other people kind of coming into play to see his relationships outside of the club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was just happy to see, like you said, Riri, Uncle Cliff getting some this episode because I thought that it was just good. Again, there are other little murders in Chuckalese, and little murder ain't got to be the only person that is dropping down to the flow.
Not other little murders. I don't think I was expecting that at first, but I was like, okay, he need this. This is his night.
And it was diet murder. Like, this guy could have been Lil Murder at first. I was like, wait a minute. Like, me and Uncle Cliff both was looking like, is that Lil Murder? Like, it don't look like Lil Murder, but they got the same vibe. You know, yes. Diet murder, it showed up.
So, also, I wanted to ask y'all a question. Was that Megan Thee Stallion with the producer? So remember when Little Murder was calling his producer friend to say, like, we're going on tour, I need you. And he was like, nah, I'm in Atlanta working on a new song with a new rapper and you should be on it. And then, like, we never got to see the rapper, but then we saw Megan Thee Stallion, like, we saw somebody's hands and the person was like, let me hear that again. And it definitely sounded like Meg.
And I saw her in some of the pictures for like their little promo events. I forgot about that until you just said it too. So I wonder if that's her.
Yeah, I hope so. That's a Texas icon right there. So I really hope Meg getting her shine. Another product of Prairie View A&M University, you know, tangentially. Okay. We still claim her. Yeah.
And so while Uncle Cliff is at his 40th, not having the best time, but, you know, enjoying himself, back at the Pink, it is time for Mercedes set with the, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire. And it seems that Mercedes is out there and, you know, she's doing her thing. But it seems that the other two young ladies are, I don't know if they're purposely outshining her or not sticking to the routine, but they are definitely like, you know, anytime Mercedes got the crowd attention, here they go jumping on the monkey bars on top of each other, swinging from pole to pole, and the crowd like, oh! And we see Mercedes feeling some type of way. And we know in practice, she couldn't do that upside down thing, but now that these girls are not one time, not two times, but three times showing her up, Mercedes is like, I gotta do what I gots to do. And what happens?
Well, first of all, I think they came out like, look, lights, camera, action, we are here. That's how they came out. They were ready. And then now it's a battle at this point. They're like, oh sis, we about to show out, and Mercedes trying to keep up with the youngins. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I love Mercedes. I love the fact that when she dances, she looks like she's almost annoyed that you're not going to give her money just because she exists. Like, why aren't you giving me more money? What's wrong with you? Like, she's looking at them like, why are y'all dancing so hard? This is about me. I love that. I love like an unbothered stripper. You know, so
unbothered stripper.
Yeah, she's like, you there, but she really don't care. Like, just give me my money. It's like, so I was enjoying Mercedes' performance. But yeah, you could definitely see that she feels like she might be threatened by them. Like I said this last time we talked, man, Mississippi kind of outshined her at some point and took off on her own. Autumn is now in charge of the club. Mercedes thought she was going to be the one to get out and go do big things. And it seemed like in her current field, she's not at the top of her game right now. And so, that fall, I don't know. I don't know why I thought maybe at the last second she was going to be to save herself.
I did too. I'm not sure why they even sent her out there with those girls. Like, it really should just be Mercedes set by herself. And so it's almost like they know she's the OG, but they're still like not respecting her in that way as well. So when you bring in new people, that's the type of stuff that happens. They're like, no, we the new people. We here to shine. And now she's trying to keep up with them. And it's not a good look. It's just not a good look for her. And she knew her arm was hurting. She knew she shouldn't have done that.
Yes. Listen, girl.
Come on now.
I would have just been one and two on the ground, not trying,
Right.
And she wakes up, and child, this is where I'd be like, Chuckalese, Mississippi.
Because what's going on with the voodoo this season?
Like, it's giving... First of all,
vibes.
When did Diamond become a damn doctor? Okay,
let me know.
So Mercedes wakes up, and Autumn and Uncle Cliff and Diamond over top of her. Uncle Cliff said the lines at the hospitals was too long, so he took her to the next best thing, which was Diamond. And here's the thing: if I fall and bust my head, waking up to Diamond might be the medicine that I would need.
Stop it! You be weak in the knees. Stand up, Bryce.
Yes.
Stand up.
I guess.
Stop.
Weak in the knees. I can hardly. But yeah. So then Diamond is like, "Well, whoa, does it hurt at night?" And she's like, "Yeah." Then he's like, "Turn over." So she turns over, and he is, how would y'all describe it? I don't know, like performing in ecstasy.
That's what it felt like. And clearly nobody was surprised except for Autumn. She's the only one who didn't know what was going on at that point.
Yeah, this is when the show is getting so kind of eerie and mystical all of a sudden, right? Like, in the past, it hasn't been supernatural. But here, we got Diamond performing what Bryce kind of says, like an exorcism. Mm-hmm. Or he's trying to pull this bad energy out of Mercedes' arm because he said it's 7 pounds of energy, that pressure that you need to pull the trigger of a gun, which we saw Mercedes do. And so, it is the Deep South, And so these are things that are practiced there. And so I'm not shocked, but it's just like, I don't think we ever got any clue that Diamond could do this,
Exactly. And I think it's kind of what you said, it's the South, right? It's people kind of like their sins, right? They're kind of now coming to fruition, like, oh Lord, remembering what they did. You saw a glimpse of that with that pole moving too. Remember when they were having practice? But I think you're right. Like, we just had it. We didn't know this before. So it's kind of coming out of nowhere. Like, well, wait, this is what he does now? How are y'all weaving this into the show? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm not sure. I'm not sold yet.
Yeah, I'm not sold on it, but Mercedes seems to think that that means that she is going to get caught.
Yeah.
Yep. She reads that as a sign. That's what I'm saying. Those sins are catching up now.
Right. It's like they convinced themselves that, they chopped up the body and threw it in the river. So, it was going to be a thing that happened and nobody was ever going to talk about it. But if you're carrying that weight on you physically, I think I would start to get kind of worried that this is something that I'm not just going to be able to leave in the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if Diamond is making a shrine out of the dead guy's ring,
Creepy.
Now, was saying that maybe y'all can help me understand, because he was saying he was keeping the ring for his protection. But it sound like the protection was that if one of y'all fold, I don't know, it sounded like he was like, I'm going to hold this over y'all head if any, because it seemed like they were like, I'm the only one who knows where the body's at. So why would I want that to come up? But why you got this dead guy ring? I don't understand that.
Cause that goes with his little voodoo stuff he done one, child. It's like a shrine or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said it was a root. So in his thing is like, I got the ring. He probably did some type of, you know, spell or whatever you would call it to make sure that, like, as long as I have this ring, I'm gonna keep the body maybe at the bottom of the river or wherever it is. But like if they find it or something like that, and, you know, it's probably something to do with that shrine that is really like a protection thing. And I really do think he doesn't trust them to keep it a secret. I mean, no disrespect to Uncle Cliff, but I'm pretty sure he admitted to that crime while he was getting kidnapped.
Yes, absolutely. So, they were all kind of like, what? Well, tell us about this.
Yeah, what body did you chop up and throw in the river? So I'm really thinking that Diamond's doing that for all of their own good, because... I don't know. I think Autumn would fold, quite frankly.
You think so?
Yeah, I for sure. There's no question in my mind that out of all of them, it would be Autumn.
Colorism.
Let's see how y'all do. Right.
No, I just don't trust Autumn. I say that because I feel like at the end of the day, she would give them up to save herself, because that's the only thing we know of Autumn is that she was this lost soul.
Yep.
And she just popped out of nowhere. And I feel like they kind of restated that again when Mercedes was like, I've done enough for you. You got to go at this point. Like, I'm just not feeling you. And I feel like they still don't know her either well enough to trust her.
She put her out.
Mercedes said, you can't wait till the morning. Get your stuff out tonight. They just took 7 pills out my arm. Get out.
That's so gone. She's like, I'm not ready. I don't have, you know, I can't. I need a little more time. Why you don't have no money yet?
Well, Autumn. So, and that for me is the other thing. How is it, Autumn, that you are so busy, business savvy, you can make all of these big moves for the pink, but yet you can't find a place to live?
See, suspect.
It's like weird for me. Two things. It's like, one, do you just really like Mercedes and you just want to be there? Or is it there's something else to you?
Yeah, it's definitely more to her story that we still haven't figured out, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so being as though she has nowhere to go, where do you go when you have nowhere to go in Pink Valley?
The strip club.
So she is at the strip club, and this is my thing. Does the pink have a lock on the door? Because I just am so confused. Autumn is there in her intimate apparels, you know, drinking a little brown liquor, and, you know, I guess she somewhat misses the pole a little bit. So she was doing a little bonk, 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 bonk. Bonk, bonk, you know, and then all of a sudden, Dre walks in. Like, you guys don't close at 5 anymore?
Man, that's the guy.
He just gives me creep vibes.
Yeah, I don't trust Dre anymore, but I definitely could see in that moment Dre being Chappelle. Like, wait, y'all stop selling chicken wings at 4:30?
So, what you still doing in here? Oh, I'm sorry. You here too? Wow, that's crazy. That's wild. You wild.
But yeah, we see that Dre and Autumn get back together. And as we lay, we forgot about the promise. As we lay,
your wife at home, Dre. Your wife at home.
Okay. Here's and go ahead, pal. Well, this what I was saying is that, like, this makes me not trust Autumn because I don't trust Dre.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he gives me creep vibes, and we clearly don't trust her, so she giving suspect vibes. It's just bad all around.
Yeah, and we shouldn't trust her. Like, I mean, in this episode, we saw, well, one, that she's the reason why Dre even went to the funeral. Like, she convinced him. And so we saw that his wife was telling him not to go. So we know that as far as his marriage is concerned, he's still got a lot of strong feelings for her. Yeah. But even in that conversation with Uncle Cliff at the beginning, where they're talking to Dre about the casino, and Uncle Cliff is like, the pink is off the auction block regardless of what happens with this casino. We find out that Autumn actually is like, well, it's off the auction block for you.
You,
but
exactly.
If the casino comes to me, I'm going to sell directly to the casino. See, Autumn wants to cut the city out of the deal,
yeah.
And just like get the bigger deal for herself so she can dip. What was the line she said? You don't ever hang up your clothes. You just leave your bag packed in case you got to roll out.
Yep.
She ready to roll out.
She's
so.
Making plans. She's making plans. She's thinking ahead. She's about that money.
And exactly. Again, why she doesn't need a place to stay. Why I want to play for something when I'm about to just be out.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
She's going to go get a lease. Why?
for why?
Exactly.
Can we do month to month? Because listen, I ain't signed 12 months.
So I ain't going to be here that long. Y'all just don't know it yet.
And then we get to see Kayshawn able to leave the house and to go on tour with Lil Murda and his cousin that just got out of jail. Welcome home, baby boy. there was the look in Keyshawn's face at the end of the episode for me led me to be like, oh, is there something more that I need to be getting into her about? Because I just felt like the look that she gave at the end when the camera kind of sort of zoomed in, it was that little smirk like it's about to be my show.
I felt like she's like, I ain't coming back. That's how I felt like she looked. Because she's not concerned with them kids. Mm-mm. She's just trying to get out.
I thought that was like her acknowledging her, all the chess moves that she was making.
Yes.
You know, like
checkmate, I made it.
Yeah, like she knew about the manager thing. She talked up her role in the partnership to where she probably negotiated more money in that moment.
Yeah.
And she got her abusive baby daddy who's been tracking her to let her go on tour. Like, honestly, it was kind of a good episode for her, despite her being in this horrible relationship.
Yeah.
She did what she needed to do. And so to get the last scene with her looking like, yeah, I did
got
that.
Him. That's, she's like, got
yeah.
him.
That was
no,
cool.
She definitely made some moves. I do agree. Some calculated moves. It all came together at the end. She was like, and I'm out.
Yeah. And I want to see her win. I want to see her win with her kids, though. Like, I don't want to see her win, like, without
I know. That's what I'm saying. She does not seem concerned about those kids. It's sometimes she just does not seem concerned. But I want to see how this develops, and I want to see how she kind of comes back into the fold with the pink, because somehow it's going to reconnect at some point.
Oh, yeah. Because, listen, my predictions are the tour ain't going to do the numbers that the tour is thinking that it's
they
going to do.
They only got one song, right? So what they touring?
And Lil Murda passing up songs with Megan Thee Stallion, so
exactly.
It's like my brother.
Yes.
Yeah. And his deal kind of sucks. Like, I mean, he in the 360 deal. Like, he in there. He in that deal. Like, that is a bad deal. And so it's all around not looking great for the tour. But again, I think Mississippi is good enough to where she knows that this is just one more step in the right direction for her.
Right.
I think she would leave a Lil Murda at the drop of a hat.
She's trying to be famous. I agree, Chappelle. Mm-hmm. She's trying to be famous. She is like, I'm going to do what I need to do, but I'm on the up and up.
Yeah, and I'm mad. Listen, get your lashes deal. Get your get the weight loss deal. Listen, come on, influencer. But yeah, I for some reason I just foresee that this is my prediction. Episode 2. This is what the spirit is speaking to me. Somehow, some way, Autumn gonna try to sell it, and they are gonna have to like do a big bash to, I don't know, raise money or something. And so it's gonna be like a Lil Murda night part 2. And that's how like Uncle Cliff and Lil Murda are gonna like finally like speak to each other. And that's how like Keyshawn will have to return to the pink. I don't know. That's just my thoughts. I don't got no spoilers.
I have a question.
Yes, what's your question?
So we've seen, you know, as far as Lil Murda goes, we saw that Uncle Cliff now just made a new friend at his party. Do you think this friend is going to have a recurring role, or was this like a late night hype type situation? Or like, you know, because Lil Murda is cool, but Uncle Cliff ain't got, like, he ain't married, you know? Like, could this be a different love interest for Uncle Cliff?
No.
This is the jump off for tonight.
And only reason why I say that is because I'm going to go on my Chappelle type of analytical thing. I think the only allure that Uncle Cliff got out of this guy was that, like, you know, for the 4 seconds that we see his intro, it's literally Lil Murda. Like, so I think that it's like the Lil Murda attraction where he kind of like was like, you know, I'm going to just be nasty because it's my birthday. But also also we just got this thing where it looked like it really was him, but you know, it was supposed to be Uncle Cliff thinking that it's Little Murder. So I think that it was just maybe him really just being like, okay, I'm in a drought, and but that he loved Little Murder.
Yeah, I think he's just the jump off until him and Lil Murder reconnect. That's personally what I think. Like, he got what he needed to get for that night. It is what it is. And he's got, but I just don't know how long it's going to take for him and Lil Murder to reconnect. That's what I'm concerned about. But I want them to. I really want, them to.
So do I, but I mean, mind you, I just want them to reconnect. But I feel bad for saying that, because I feel like, no, like, you know, you deserve better, Uncle Cliff. But I want them to reconnect, and maybe like they can just work out something. Who knows? But yeah, I am living for the Lil Murder Uncle Cliff episode,
because they love each other. You can tell.
Well, they do. Like, Lil Murder, for like, there's no doubt that Lil Murder does not love Uncle Cliff. Going to see his grandmother, like, mm-hmm. speaking those things, like, oof, when he was talking through that door, and he was like, "Well, can you just relay a message to me?" And I felt like you said, Ree, that he knew he was right there. Like, it wasn't relaying a message. He was like talking to him.
Yeah. Whew. Also, boom. I want everybody to win. I need Mercedes to get some love, though. That's what we need, to get some love in her life, because, baby, she is angry.
Oh. that device is not doing the job, is what you saying?
She's too pretty to be angry like that. Mm-mm.
Well, I mean, if my mom stole a lot of money from me, I gotta work back at the thing. I can't make the mortgage on my gym of my dreams. I might be shaking my clappers and looking angry to the men, talking about you should be giving me more money too.
This is mad. We gonna see how that changes, though. We want her to win too.
And my last prediction, because I just like Mercedes and Autumn, I think these new girls are going to come into the fold of Mercedes somehow, some way, because Mercedes is like the mother of the strip. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there might be a man or something that pushes up on them that they might not, you know, they're still greenhorns. And so I think that something is going to happen where Mercedes is going to like have to school them or save them, and they will be more of a cohesive family.
We'll see. I'm interested to see how those characters develop too. Like, those girls on a mission though to take over, that's for sure. So, and I don't know if it's about pushing Mercedes out or kind of being a team, but I want to see where they go with that too.
Yeah, and Whisper seems to be connected to the spiritual reality of the whole season as well. And so I'm wondering where her role is going to play long term, because as we saw, the pink is haunted, y'all. We haven't really talked about it, but it's a ghost in there.
It is, for sure.
So you are right. There is a ghost in there. And when, did y'all see when Autumn was in there in the camera room, then went out to dance, the guy that they killed popped up on the camera in the room that he died.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. That's what's going to happen. The pink need to get gutted and just revamped. That's what really needs to happen. Get those spirits out of there.
Listen, y'all. Yeah. We could take that $10 million and we could rebuild the pink somewhere.
That's what. What you think Autumn waiting on?
Sure. Yeah, listen. Mm-hmm. And Uncle Cliff can't be in charge of that $10 million.
Nah.
Yes, but this was a great episode, episode 2 of Pink Valley. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with episode 3. But before we go, Ree, where can the people follow you at in case they want a little Ree and Ree life?
Check me out at Survivor Ree on Twitter and Instagram. Maybe I'll bless y'all this week with something. I've been quite
yes. Okay, listen, Ree be she be jet setting and popping up in bikinis and pools, so you'd be like, ooh, okay,
it's coming.
Oh, listen, we are here for it. And Chappelle, what you got cooking over there?
You know me, still podcasting about anything people will call me to talk about. So I'm going to just keep that going for a little bit longer. So I think on Silent Podcast recently, me and Gia Worthy, we talked about the Black Survivor Mount Rushmore. Not that y'all would know anything about that, but I think y'all's name might have come up a few times in that conversation. We just highlighted, we took the time to highlight some of the Black Survivor players, because as y'all know better than I do, that y'all don't always get the edit that you think you should get, or like they lean into a lot of negative stereotypes. And so we showed some love to the icons that got us watching the show. It was a very fun time. And so check that out if you are if you want to hear us brag about Bryce and Sharia. We had a good time over there on Silent Podcast. We also did an episode recap of the first season of, I mean, the first episode of Survivor Vanuatu with the Bitter Jurors Pod. Gia and I, we hopped over there to help out Christine to talk about that. Rob and I are still doing the Nothing But Netflix podcast, where this week we talked about the new Adam Sandler movie Hustle, starring Adam Sandler and Queen Latifah. It's a good basketball movie, y'all, and so check that out. Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one. And so that was a good time. And then just follow me on Twitter. I'll tweet out the links to everything else I got coming up. I should be talking about 90 Day Fiance this week with Pooya. So check out all that and just follow me, and I'll keep y'all posted.
You working, working.
Yeah.
I keep a job.
Okay, listen. He better listen. He got, how you think he get all them ones for the drive by car wash?
Make that money.
Don't let it make you. That's what they say.
Yes, I love it. And we'll be back next week. We out of here. Hello.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? So who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And I feel like this person has been all over the podcast. We've been covering this young lady's story for a while. She was in a conservatorship. Now, I probably said that wrong, but listen, y'all know what I meant. Okay, she's had a turbulent relationship with the media. You know, she got financially free from her father. You know, she didn't told us she had a boyfriend. She stayed on the Instagram dancing kind of weirdly. She recently told us that she was trying to have a baby. She then shared with us that she had a miscarriage. But this past weekend, the one, the only Britney Spears was married to her new husband, Sam A. Now, I ain't even going to try to pronounce his last name, but listen, Sam is a cutie patootie. And I'm happy for Britney. And I feel like we cover Britney on this podcast with the casual tea. And anytime there is breaking news, I try to keep y'all informed. But I think that it's important. You know what I say? We give they people they flowers. Now, whether or not we agree with this marriage, because you know they was in talks with the prenup, and Sam was saying that after 5 years he should get more money. But listen, we ain't here for that. We really just want to celebrate our queen, that is Britney Spears. She got married, and that's something that she wanted to do. And I feel like, listen, that has to be her right. If that's her choice, then we got to get behind Miss Hit Me Baby One More Time and celebrate her. I was on the internet looking at the photos, and everything seemed to be really, really cute. And child, I woke up Saturday morning, and TMZ was saying that one of her first husbands, Jason Allen Alexander, was trying to crash the wedding. Baby, he had to get tackled because, listen, he wasn't coming to the wedding, a mess. But everything looked great. The photos looked cute. Britney looked happy. Her husband, Sam, looked handsome. And then we saw that, you know, Madonna was there, and her and Madonna kissed like they were on at the VMAs a decade ago. But it's just really good that Britney, she wanted to get married. And if this is what you want to do, then listen, here at Purple Pants Podcast, we support that, love and encourage you. And by way of making you the freak of the week, Miss Britney Spears, congratulations to your newfound union. I hope that it brings you many years of love. I hope that if you want more children, you have all the children that you have. I hope that Sam is a great man to you, because, you know, if not, we over here, we gonna be on attack mode. But seriously, like, congratulations to Britney. I really hope that you are happy. If Miss Britney Spears and her new husband are the freak of the week, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing episode. Thank you so much, Purple Pants Posse, for always supporting and listening to your baby boy. You know it means literally the world to me. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast is awaiting for you to hit subscribe, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars, and don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that it's 7 pounds of pressure, because it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.